Hello and welcome to this week's Dirt Shed Show. This week we're talking about, are we ready for another wheel size debate, plus all the usual extras. Yes, hello and welcome. This week you're with me, James Pickering.
Hello, I'm Neil. Been a while since I've been in here.
Yeah, nice to have you back in the set.
And stinks in here.
Stinks. I thought you were the man to speak to about this week's topic because...
Yes, hit me with it.
Off the back of the UCI announcing that they're not going to put a cap on max wheel size. Yeah. This is regarding the 32-inch wheels that we're seeing starting to creep into cross-country.
Yeah.
It got me thinking, are we going to have the wheel size debate all over again?
I hope not. Because it's very tiresome.
Yeah. So I was a little bit young the first time around, not to make you feel too
which
old.
I think is hilarious, because I must have sat in this very same spot 10 years ago, I guess, talking about all this stuff.
Yeah. So when did we sort of start to see the creeping of, first we had like 27, well, 29 came, and then we had 27 and a half, right?
Yeah. I mean, Owen said that, and I'd completely forgotten about that, that yeah. We had 29 came, and then 650B came after.
Yeah.
Well, from my perspective, obviously we did talk about it an awful lot in the early days of GMBN because it was big news for a long time, yeah. And there was all sorts of debates about it forever. So I first raced a 29er in 2013, I believe, at Enduro.
Yeah.
And I remember being absolutely against it until I tried it. Yeah. And on a sort of, you know, 140mm travel bike, it was just for Enduro racing, they were really fast. They just covered the ground, just the extra bit of grip, the rolling, the lack of sort of rolling resistance or, you know, rollover, whatever you want to call it, made a big difference. And I sort of, like I said, particularly the early bikes, I think were quite ugly. They everything went a bit steeper and a bit funky for a while.
Yeah.
I can't remember the numbers on the head angles, but looking at the photos now of the bikes I rode, and you're like, it looks really steep, but I didn't think of it riding badly at the time. I was actually really impressed, but I kind of didn't want to have to ride it because I didn't think it was as cool as 26.
Yeah, I think that's often the thing with these new trends in mountain biking, isn't it? But you said the first time you rode one was when you raced it, right?
So I built one. It was a Santa Cruz tall boy, and I took it straight to a British Enduro and got a second on it. So I knew it, or I'd heard that it was going to be a lot faster, and I wanted to take it and try it. And I thought, what better place than just at a British race and do it? And I did all right. I was second on the first ever ride out on it.
Yeah.
And obviously, they, you know, 29ers were big in racing. There was a lot of enduro races, and we saw it eventually come to downhill. Although downhill's gone back really to mixed the most common. I think some people, not many, run
very tall riders, I guess, might run double 29.
Yeah, but 32, I feel like this is going to be niche.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to take off like 29.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I've probably thought about that about 29.
I guess the thinking I was having, you saying there, you first rode it on your enduro bike in 2014. I think Jaroslav Kolhavy won the first ever XC World Cup in 2011.
So
on 29 at Dolby Forest. So it was 3 years after that, the unit.
Yeah.
So maybe if we're seeing 32 and XC now, in 3 years' time, are we going to see...
I don't think so. No. I don't... I mean...
Maybe
I,
mixed?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be too big, too flexy, not enough advantages to... In downhill, I'm talking, or even enduro. I can see an XC if the ride is tall enough. Yeah. I think there'll be a cut. If I even think, for me, I'm 5'10". I think I'm borderline for a full 29 an hour. I wouldn't want to be too much shorter for riding, or maybe enduro, when you're moving around. I mean, even across country, you are moving around a lot, but I can't see a 5'6" cross-country racer riding a 32er.
And I think this is the sort of speculation with the new rule. It's because there's no cap on it. If you're really short, especially for female riders like Isla Short, if you can't ride that 32er, and on those fast courses, you will be at a disadvantage versus someone who's like 5'10" and can get away with it. So is there an unfair advantage if you're taller?
I don't know. I've always thought what you gain in an area you might lose in another.
Exactly.
You know, there's never been a set rule for the tallest person is the fastest.
No, because if you're shorter, you're going to be lighter probably. So
does that count to the equipment as well? Does it size, you know, I don't know. Does that scale make any difference?
So I guess it was the thing back in the day, everyone thought being tall was great for downhill, like PT, Greg Minnar.
Yeah,
and now you see quite a lot of short riders.
Jackson Golson is not massive.
No.
It's been disproved a few times.
Yeah.
I've thought about this and wondered why 32 is, why aren't we seeing them as in gravel bikes? That seems like the more obvious place for them to sit.
Where it's just really non-technical. Because I still think there's a lot of XC courses like Andorra, Novo Mesto, those like quite gnarly ones still, where I think a 32 is going to be too big. Some of the faster ones, like the Brazil races, they look really fast and flat out, I can get. But gravel seems the obvious place to go for the bigger wheel size.
It does feel to me like it's going to be a specialist race equipment for some riders.
Yeah.
But I guess in 5 years' time, we'll revisit this and we'll know if I was right or wrong. Who knows?
Yeah, being in the industry around the time of when the big wheels first came about, what was the initial reaction like? Because right now people are scrambling for tyres, forks.
Yeah,
was it the same back then?
A bit, particularly in downhill. If you remember, Santa Cruz came along and qualified at Lourdes at really high up with all of them. And then the rest of the team's like, right, obviously we need this kit. Yeah. I don't know if we'll see that again. Obviously the rollover is going to be even better on 32, but I guess we'll have to wait for the first races and see if anyone has actually bit the bullet and gone for it or not.
Yeah, you must have spent years scrolling through YouTube comments and seeing people arguing about wheel
size.
That's
why I don't want to see any of this again, because people have an opinion, and it for ages and ages, it was really, really important to these people to voice their opinion everywhere.
Yeah.
And, I was probably the same, but I got pretty tired of it after a while.
Yeah, let us know in the comments down below. Are you ready for a new wheel size discussion, or do you think we should just keep it as it is? So it's now time for the news. And first up, Vittoria have got a new trail range of tyres. So this is sort of in the mid-range of their casings. It's available for cross-country, enduro and trail. It uses their 4C tread, so the four graphene-infused compounds, so minimise rolling resistance, but also give you like a bit of mid-level support. So you can boost durability. It's in the 60 TPI casing as well, so it's going to be supple, lightweight, just like a nice reinforced tyre, but also still quite fast rolling. Some race news as well, isn't there?
Yeah, so this I think is pretty important for downhill racers. So this is the IXS Downhill Cup, which looks to me, I mean, it's always been quite a good sort of series below the World Cup, but obviously with the World Cup becoming sort of shiny and professional, I think obviously that leaves room for feeder series to be really good and get newer riders or, you know, developing riders up into World Cups.
Definitely.
And they've announced their 2026 calendar in Czech Republic, Germany, Switzerland, so some proper venues for downhill races.
Have you raced any of these?
Willingen in, Germany back in the day a few times, Actually, I caught up with Bernard Kerr for a video coming to GMBN this weekend, nice. I believe. I talked to him about downhill racing and his future as well, and got sort of involved in some of the gossip from the World Cups this year, which is really interesting for me, kind of being on the outside of downhill racing nowadays, but have living that life for so long previously. I'm looking forward to some of the racing that is coming up. And
yeah, I guess this is really important for privateers now, because it's not as easy to get into World Cups.
Yeah.
It used to be the case, I think you need about 60 UCI points, which you get in smaller races. But I think unless you have a factory deal now, you can't just...
Yeah, I don't know the exact route. Yeah, but it's much more difficult than when I was racing. But basically, you could race, you know, British nationals or series like this to go and get enough UCI points to go off the World Cups. But nowadays, like I say, it's much tighter. And I guess you still need to do it, but you also need trade team support as well.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then it was also our Black Friday sale is now live. So on the GMBN shop, there's up to 50% off certain items, our casual kit, riding kit, and all the stuff we wear. It's great seeing you guys out on the trail on it as well. So be sure to head to the GMBN shop or follow the link down below. There's also a competition this week from our partners Topeak. So you can be in a chance with winning two bundles. You can get the eBooster Digital or the Turbo Flow full set. The competition is running from the 25th of November to the 5th of December, and the link is down below to enter. Right, it's now time for Hacks and Bodgers. And first up, we've got one from Nico J. So he said he's bought a new home trainer for his road bike for the condition of winter training, hoping to fix his drop in winter riding time. The store didn't have a front wheel stand, but the front wheel damaged my new mat. So we took an egg box. Seems to hold the thin front wheel perfectly in place.
I think that's kind of good, because if you don't have one, your saddle's like that.
Yeah.
And I've lost mine in the past. I mean, I found it again now. Not that I've been on the turbo for a while, but I guess it's not a bad way to do it.
Do you ever get out the saddle on the turbo, though? I can just imagine you go to get out the saddle and it just goes...
Oh, right. I see what you mean. It'll just squash
stand up.
Yeah, I suppose it would.
That is a bodge?
Or, wait, yeah. What is, I guess that's a bodge.
Yeah, what have we got next?
Someone sent this in. The cleats have cracked the plate on the bottom of the shoe, so he's padded it out with broken chain links and then screwed it down super tight. This is Douglas Hill. Sorry, I should have name checked. Yeah, I guess that's going to work. Where are you going to get the chain links from? An old piece of chain knocking about.
Yeah.
I mean, that is also in the realms of a bodge, surely.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd want it as a permanent fix, but I was going to say if there's a trail side hack that gets you home, it's good. But then where are you going to get all the
take your chain apart to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a bodge again. And then last up, we've got from James Meacock. He says, seat tube water stopper. I've had problems with bottom bracket seizing in the past, which I've expected it is from water getting into the seat tube when washing it and then sitting around the bottom bracket, which is strange because they normally have a little hole in the bottom, don't they?
Yeah, so, not all of them. I've had that before where you take the BB out and there's just a load of water in there, to be fair. So yeah, I guess it could happen.
He's using an inner tube to go over the seat tube and seat tube clamp and use two cable ties to hold it in to prevent water getting in at this point.
Is that good enough for a hack? I feel like it's not that aesthetically pleasing.
No, I wouldn't love it on my bike.
I also don't like having zip ties. They're really sharp, even if you get it trimmed.
There.
Do you know what I mean?
We've got a week of bodges.
It's an accident waiting to happen. That,
three bodges for the week. What's your favourite, Neil?
Favourite? Do I have to pick
one? Yeah, you have to pick a favourite.
I don't know. I guess the final one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Who was that from? That was
James. Well done, James. So send us your details down below. You've won a voucher up to the value of £50 spent in the GMBN shop. Make sure to send your hacks and bodges in for a chance to win £50 next week.
Things we've liked this week. Dan Paley, this is a pretty banging edit. He is... That sort of whip he does out of the tree ride, tail whip out of the tree ride, is gnarly. He's got I guess it is a unique style. There aren't many people that ride like a mountain bike, like a street BMX, I suppose. Although Dennis Senison did one just the other week. Similar vibes, I suppose.
It's really cool seeing their like outlook on riding from people who've grown up riding BMX. Yeah. It's completely different to what we have as mountain bike. But that particular clip there, he does a tooth hanger. No pegs on the bike and like grinds on the axle.
Yeah, you don't see much. That transfer to wall ride.
Yeah, the ender is absolutely awesome. Next up, things we like this week. I particularly like this one from Harry Hemingway. He's got a new specialised tarmac. He's doing some awesome trials, some wheelies on it. And most impressive to me is he does this sort of like wheelie trials hop up the free stairs. But he's in the big ring as well, so like trials gearing is normally absolutely tiny. He's in his big ring there, which must be like a 52 or a 53.
Good, isn't it? Amazing rider, Harry. I think he's just become world champion trials motorbike.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
Amazing rider, yeah. And also then, so Lucas Schaefer, have you seen this? Bombing down into this whopping great step up. Even before he gets the jump, you think, what the hell?
Yeah, the speed wobble, like, as it doesn't look like the cleanest sort of run into it anyway, but
pretty wild.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very impressive. That was the things we liked this week. Right, it's now time for this week's caption contest. This week's photo is a picture of me, actually.
Are those your glasses?
No, so I found these in a park bench when I was waiting for Rich to do his Passport de Soleil ride in Switzerland, just outside Chompry, a set of Armani shades.
Are they actually Armani?
Yeah, but they were such a heavy like zoom on the prescription. Right. They gave you like headache after wearing them. I was going to keep them, but yeah, legit Armanis.
Very good. Elricht DB says, I know, let's dress up as Owen for Halloween. Is that harsh?
That is quite a good Owen impression, I reckon. Next from Daphne, we've got when Ali G went mountain biking.
Well, yeah, passable. And then J2MTB says, what I look like after a ride with Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg or Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, that's a good one. What's your favourite, this one?
I think dressing up as Owen's got to be the winner, surely. Yeah. Elricht DB.
Well done, Elricht. You've won a voucher up to the value of £50 spent in GMBN shop. Send your details down below. Here's this week's caption contest photo. Very nice. Leave your captions down below for a chance to win a voucher up to £50. So it's now time for the bike vault. And last week, Ferg and I asked for your kids' bikes. So some of you sent them in. We've also got some normal bikes as well, as there wasn't too many.
But homemade one to start with. That's
this
pretty
one
cool.
Looks mega, doesn't it? So this is from Toby Phillips. This bike was given to me on my first birthday or Christmas, you can't remember. Handmade out of wood by my dad. Has wheelbarrow wheels. I also discovered recently that it works quite well as a trampoline bike. My friend backflipped it on a trampoline.
Nice.
Very that's good. Pretty impressive. I reckon that's a super nice one, just because it's homemade.
Next bike is Charlie's Giant Faith 26. It's a mullet, 27 front, 26 back. Charlie rides with his dad every week in his home in Cornwall. Loves trail centres and bike parks as well as the South West Coast Path. Oh, nice.
Awesome.
And this is up on Calmbrain near Camborne, midway through a 24-mile ride.
You didn't see many 26, 27 and a half
good way of doing it. Yeah.
What do you reckon, Neil?
Oh, I'm giving that super nice.
Yeah,
mega
cool
view
bike
as well. There you go.
So next up, we've got this one from Andy Disney. It's a B-Fun balance bike. This is our two-year-old daughter's balance bike. Folds in half for easy travel. Punch-proof tyres, lightweight, built-in suspension, amazing pre-built. These bikes were not a thing when I was learning to ride.
Yeah, balance bikes are amazing. Yeah,
yeah,
I've had
that's,
one.
That's sick. And the fact that it's got suspension and it folds, super nice for me.
Now we're going up. This is not a kid's bike, unless the kid is massive. This is a Commissile Clash V1 from Gwennael with the orange Kashima 36s.
Nice.
This is in Freiburg. I've ridden there, actually. Is that Freiburg? Is that where Scott is based? I'm pretty sure I've ridden Freiburg. 180mm fork, 165 travel rear, Shimano XT brakes, 203 rotors. It's a great super enduro free rider. I love it.
Yeah, it looks really cool, doesn't it?
Nice
background. Pretty good cool bikes this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are you saying? Super nice or not?
I'm saying that's nice.
Yeah, that is a cool bike. Next up from William. Oh, this is a really cool photo, isn't it?
Where's that? That is cool, isn't it?
Doesn't it say? It says, I wanted one more ride for the year. I had to hike the bike all the way in the snow, but it's his Transition. Coil shock on there. Looks like a Fox 38. I like the chrome handlebars as well.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
No dropper, interestingly. So probably like a bit of a free ride park bike.
Yeah.
That looks somewhere...
It does look somewhere like Geneva, reading it around that
Shropshire
neck of his. No, not, well, a bit of snow, to be fair.
Yeah, that's a super nice one, yeah. That's really cool.
Next up, we have a Yeti Strider. It's paid up. Built this Strider up for Christmas charity bike program in Yeti livery. This is from Rich Miller. It's very cool.
Yeah, the seat looks cool on it as well, doesn't it?
With the orange fork as well.
Yeah.
It's got to be a super nice, surely.
Yeah, it's got like
custom bike charity, very cool.
Oh, this is really nice. Next up from Eric, we've got a YT Capra Pro Race 2018 in an XL. He said it was his first real MTB at 6'3". It now looks and rides a bit like a kid's bike.
It does look kind of light with those wheels, long and low almost, doesn't it?
It's got a custom paint job, £28 build. It's also got a bar spin set up,
nice,
what it says. Wouldn't get much use out of that, personally. Although I've been known to do some of them back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, on a BMX.
Never done a bar spin in my life.
Maybe not on one of these style bikes.
What are we saying?
God, I can't give super nice to every bike this week,
no,
but I think... I don't know, I might have to. Custom paint job, I think, deserves it.
Go for it.
I'm going to go for it.
This is a slightly unusual looking bike from Arwell Jones. What's it made of? This is cardboard and toilet paper, toothpicks and springs. It's Commissile Supreme V4. The steering works and the forks work. How did you have done that with like springs out of a pen or something?
That's impressive, isn't it?
Pretty well done, isn't it? It's taken me between a half and three quarters of a year to get to the point I am. Oh my gosh.
That's the sort of thing you do at school when you're meant to be listening to someone in lessons, isn't it?
It's got a spring on the shot now, if you look like what I guess. How much further you can go? How are you going to build some wheels to put on that? But it actually looks like proportionally correct, doesn't it?
Yeah, and all the decals and stuff on the fork and the frame look.
That's a lot of work.
On.
How big is it? Well, I'm guessing it looks about that big to me. But
yeah, it's like a tech deck sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Pretty delicate thing. We'll give that RL a super nice.
Yeah. Thank you for all your submissions. The uploaded link is in the description down below. Send them all in. Coming up on the channel this week, first up on Thursday, we have Ferg has been testing out some disc brake / rotor covers. They've been used a couple of times in the World Cups this year, so we've got our hands on them. And Ferg's going to see, is it hype or are we all going to be using these?
And then on Sunday, I've been up to visit Bernard Kerr, check out his riding for one, and then also his workshop setup with his Ferraris, Porsches, and all that stuff.
It's better than my workshop.
It is. It is honestly the most impressive workshop I've ever been in, and I got to catch up with him to talk about living the dream, living the life as a pro, and how did he get to where he is, and can I have a go in your Ferrari, please? So that's coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, looking forward to watching that one. Cheers for joining me on the show this week, Neil.
Cheers, James.
See you on the next one.
Yeah.